asleep. There's a garrison of uncircumcised Philistines over there. We can't fight them. Yes? Oh, no. He says, it may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, and behold, I am with thee according to your heart. 2 Samuel 12, of course, the great text from David. But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. And therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread or food before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? I don't get you, David. Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child is dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. Aren't you supposed to be crying now? And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, this is his, you know, by the way, when he says, for I said, Lois, who is he speaking to? Lois only. He said, for I said, who is he speaking? Himself. He's preaching to himself. Do you ever hear these sermons, by the way, that I preach? People that are negative and depressed all the time, they never learn to speak the truth to themselves. They always talk garbage to themselves. He said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? By the way, as long as there's hope, keep pushing. He goes on, I don't need to read the rest. 2 Samuel 16:12. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. 2 Samuel 19:14. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh. Joel 2. Therefore also saith the Lord, turn you even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him? Amos 5, seek good and not evil, that you may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you, as ye have spoken. Hate the evil, and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be. Is this sinking into you yet? Everyone look at me, yes or no? Your attitude as a Christian ought always to be, yes. For anything godly and good, yes. It may be, who can tell? Zephaniah. Jonah first. By the way, these are the pagans. Pagans were more Christian than some Christians. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away his fierce anger that we perish not? Zephaniah, seek ye the Lord. All you meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Last Sunday morning, right after the Sunday school, and we did not have a time, of course, to do all the things that I wanted to do in Sunday school. Jim Duncan, which is not here, and I'm mad at him this morning, he's down on the base, came to me and he immediately reminded me of something that you hear in the business world all the time. You know what you hear in the business world? You see the title. Company's got to do X, Y, and Z. They don't care what you think. They don't care about your attitudes. They don't care about your snotty nose. They want to get to yes. As a Christian, oh my goodness, did you read those verses? This is what I'm interested in you and in our children and grandchildren and people we have contact with. We must develop people that can get to yes. Not people whose only language is no. No is all about self-control. Yes is about moving forward in life. And unfortunately, fundamentalism tends to be people that never get any place. Now, I don't think this church is that way on the whole. I think the majority are not, but I think we still have a lot of naysayers. You say, what are you talking about? Life. That's all I'm talking about. We're going to pray and get started this morning, okay? You'll have plenty of time to interact. This is mostly a discussion. Let's pray. Father, I ask your blessing on this hour. May this be a profitable morning as we look at this great concept, getting to yes. which I think is all of the verses that we just read. We're going to do all that we can to experience your goodness, your blessing, your bounty. Help us to do so, and help us to be able to share that with our children. So our children are the kinds of people that are a positive in this world, not a drain, not a negative, not a cloistered person hiding from everybody. Help us to hear, we ask, and we ask in Christ's name. Amen. You know where you're at, Peter? He walked up to his office. I think it was a Monday morning. The office he worked at was a high-tech pharmaceutical place. He had his, in order to enter the place, you had to do the little swipe card. He walked up to the door he went to every week on a month. I think it was a Monday, but it might not have been. He swiped the card, and the card didn't work. It's a bad sign. So he did what you would do. What happens if your card wouldn't work? You swipe it again. And then after a couple of times, he might have wiped it off. He swiped it again, and by this time, security recognized who he was, and security met him at the front door with two boxes, the stuff from his desk, and handed it to him. They didn't pray with him. They didn't pat him on the back, head, or any other place on his anatomy. They handed him his boxes and said, "You are terminated. The money owed you will be in the mail." Now, if I was to tell you the guy that that happened to, number one, was a guy I led to the Lord. Number two was a guy that was as intelligent as anybody in this room, was as diligent as anybody in this room. You would wonder what in the world, by the way, became one of the deacons. I think he's still a deacon in the church in St. Louis, a good guy, hardworking. But he had a fatal flaw. I'm going to give you the fatal flaw, so if you ever hear it in yourself or your family or anybody you know, you shut the stupid down right then. It was a fatal flaw. By the way, I've been here how long, Tim? How long have I been pastor in this church? 19 years. He still does not have a good job. So the impact of his one problem has affected him and his family for the last 20 plus years. You say, what was the problem? Here's Ralph Warren's way of explaining. He could find the dark cloud in every silver lining. Have you met people like that? When I walked into this church 19 years ago, there were people that if I said, we're going to have ice cream after church, they would say, oh, it's too cold for ice cream. Okay, so we're going to have chili dogs. I don't like chili dogs. Okay, we're going to have chicken. That chicken's too tough. By the way, look at me. The dark cloud in every silver lining cost a man, as good as any man here, his job. Nancy, we have a row right up here just for you and that handsome guy that's with you. Who did I say? I'm looking at Nancy and Linda. Do you both have yellow shirts on? Or is it my colorblind?
You're colorblind.
That's not yellow?
That's yellow, that's not.
Now you have offended me. Yes. I'm going to say it again. Have you met the person that can find the dark cloud in every silver lining? My secretary in St. Louis, Kirk Mellon, and I took her out to eat one time. By the way, if you work here and I've never been nice to you, you're going to know why now. Took her out to eat one time. She complained from the moment she walked in the restaurant to the moment she left. I looked at Kirk and I told her, I'll never take you another place and I'll never do anything nice to you. I don't hang out with people that gripe about food. I got better things to do. Now, what are we talking about? Getting to yes. In your notes, we're going to go back to something I preached a couple months back. I preached on growth, and I talked about you either grow in all or not, and I don't even know if that's punctuated correctly. I don't think so. Or not at all. In other words, those who don't get it, don't get it. So this is what you need to draw on your board. Here's you. Here's God. And I'm not trying to make this philosophical. And here's Scripture. It's one of those beautiful things. By the way, when you learn this principle this morning, here's what's really nice. It works every place you go. Because you and God in Scripture kind of fix everything together. So here you go. Some of you were awake that day. I think I talked about, well, it doesn't really make a difference how I put this. Church. That's a good one. Work. Job. Society at large. By the way, if you're a person that can find a dark cloud in every silver lining, when the police officer pulls you over, you get 3 tickets instead of none. Because you're going to set him right. That really works. Have you noticed how that works in America? Have you noticed how well it does? You say it's racism. Yeah, when a guy's pointing a rifle at a cop hits him with a car. It's a wonder he didn't kill him. By the way, it doesn't work real well. But you don't. What you think is we think our life is compartmentalized. It's not. Our life is lived every place. So what you, God, and whatever you get from God in Scripture, it's amazing. This just starts happening every place or it doesn't happen any place. Getting to yes either happens every place you are or it happens no place you are. All right, so what are some other relationships? I think you already know this. Marriage. Would you say that might be one of them? Friends and broader family. And your specific family. So, by the way, this is a simple illustration. I actually preached this for a whole 45 or 50 minutes. And I think I said that day over and 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 over. You either get it in all or you don't get it at all, because the only thing all of these have in common is what? Please tell me. You. So when you get along with the Word of God, the truth of Scripture, and you get along with God and you are letting God work in your life, and God changes you to a person that says, I can't, to a person that says, I can do all things through Christ, guess what? You can do all things through Christ with your friends, your marriage, your family, your work, your church, and society at large. Or you don't. And you start to see the same individuals have problems at work, marriage, children, society, church, in every place. It isn't a secret, folks. That's the reason your relationship with God and His Word changes everything, or it changes nothing. People that have problems with children have problems in marriage, have problems at church, have problems on the job. I've never seen a person that had an isolated problem. Everything else is good. Everybody because you're the person that goes there. Does this make sense to you? Next page, please. When I talk about getting to yes, here are my basic introductory thoughts. And after this, I'm going to say some things and you're going to be able to interact very much. When I think about getting to yes, this is what I think about from the idea. First of all, well, there is a yes. I mean, we have to start there, because some people just start with no. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever listened to people talk? Sometimes people will say no before they even hear what you're saying. It's just no. I want to say this. I thank God that in both my mom and dad, very country, simple people, I never grew up around naysayers. But I've known naysayers in this church that I'm just like wondering, where do you get the no from? Why is everything no before you even know what we're talking about? Just no. I don't like that. I can't do that. No. So there is a yes. How about this one? I think maybe this is the most helpful part for me. We aren't there yet. That's okay, by the way. When somebody comes up to you and gives you a new idea, it takes some of us time, and we're going to get into that. It takes us a little time to get there sometimes, and that's okay. That's not a bad thing. Next, but we are going to get there. We're going to get there. So let's think about job. I remember working back in the dark ages in a laboratory. Now, you have to understand, a laboratory is statistics. That's all it is. I mean, just reams of numbers. Everything is lab work, which is CBC, white blood cell count, red blood cell count, hemoglobin, hematocrit, platelets, segmented neutrophils, lymphocytes, monocytes, eosinophils, basophils, and that's just hematology. And you do thousands of those and tens of, so everything is number. We used to have to keep all that manually. Then one day they brought into the laboratory, you ever hear of them? Computers. Now you already know how you would react to that, don't you? Some people would have two cows. By the way, how did that work on the job? You either learned the computers or? Bye-bye. Why? Because there is a yes. We might not be there yet, but we're getting to yes. Because this is going to make our life easier. And I can still remember people, did it make our life easier? Oh, my goodness. Now, back in those dark ages, of course, we didn't have a computer on your desk. We had some computer in a room bigger than the kitchen there, cooled, and it had less power than your phone has. You understand? We used to have three guys work on that all the time to keep our lab stuff going. But was it better? Yeah, we could dial up numbers from 2 years ago that a person had lab results, compare them. Oh, my goodness. Getting to yes. So let's look at all this again. There is a yes. We aren't there yet. That's okay. We're going to get there. What's the next? You already tell me what it is. Yeah. How can we get to yes? I mean, that's what a normal person thinks. Or what do we need to do? Pastor Koch quoted this to me recently because Pastor Koch's heard me quote this for how long, Tim? Now, you don't have to like this, but when a person comes to me, someone who works at Lake County Baptist School, and they come to me and they say this, I don't, or I can't. I'll put this one in brackets. See, a lot of people think they have escaped the yes by saying, I can't. Here's your problem. With enough time, yes, you can. You say, I can't. I don't know how to use a computer. There's nobody in this church who could teach you how to use a computer, is there? Nobody here's ever seen one. Now, some people are very patient teachers. Then there's Christy. She's not very patient. I ask her something. It's like, get out of my way. Let me do it. I don't blame her. I'm a little slow. I knew I was going to get something on that one. In your notes, by the way, I'm speaking to you and your family. You do understand. I'm speaking to you, you. I'm sorry, because you can't teach children how to get to yes unless you can get to yes. So when someone says, I don't know how to use computers, then they usually back up to, I can't. But what that really means is, I won't. And as I say in your notes, this all equals the same thing over time. There is no difference. By the way, folks, in your job, they're not going to ask you if you can dunk a basketball unless you play professional basketball. They're not going to ask, by the way, you're trying to rear your children not to be someone that can beat Usain Bolt in 100 meters We're talking about the normal stuff. So you go in and they say, you have to learn this. And you say, I don't know how to do that. That's fine. But I'm going to get to yes. This is what you got to teach children. But then when you back up to I can't, what you're really saying is, look at me. I'll wait till everybody looks up here. What you're really saying is, I will not. Employees know that. Employees know that. And you'll be going bye-bye. Or you'll get your hours cut. Or you're going to be working so minimally you don't have a job and you're wondering, what's the problem? You can't get to yes. It's really that simple. So all Pastor Warren is talking about this morning in every area of life, teaching young people to get to the yes. You might not be there yet, but we're going to get there. And my question is, how can we get there? Philippians talks about this great verse, and I recommend that you know the great verse. It's a wonderful verse. Paul, but I want you to get the background. Paul says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. But then he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. The text is in the context of suffering. But Paul's attitude towards life is, I can do all things that I'm supposed to be doing by the will of God through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So look at me. When I hear a person that works for us that says, I can't use a computer, not interested. Not interested in your excuses, not interested in your conversation. And may I say this, forget about Lake County Baptist, you all have to work. Your employee just doesn't really care about your attitude or opinion. And that's the reason some of us struggle with jobs. And we're always, as my buddy Pete Vasilovich calls it, minimally employed. Because we just can't get to yes. We're those kind of people that yes never happens. We're griping, complaining, whining, trying to take a break, trying to get out of work. This happens every place you are. Now, unfortunately, Frenchie messed up the notes. I have to blame it on Frenchie because it wasn't me. So I'm going to draw something and we're going to have a little conversation and I'm going to let you figure out who you are. You can put it under work or jobs. I don't think that's a perfect arch. No. But it's close enough for what we're doing. When it comes to doing anything in life, work, marriage, children. By the way, you don't even have to read the book on this. I've read books of leadership on this, but I don't have to because I'm a pastor. This is 100% of people, by the way, 100%. The first thing you do when you look at this thing is you knock off the 10% here and the 10% on this end. There's about 10 or so percent on both ends. You say, where are you going with this? You'll understand. There's 10% on this end that if Pastor Warren said, let's burn this building down tonight and build a new one tomorrow, I'd have 10% of people saying, yeah! Now, they didn't even hear what I said. 5 minutes later, you said, are you ready to burn the building down? They would be like, what did you just say? There's just 10% of people that on any job, any church, there. By the way, the people that have wanted to build a new building the most, three people in my time here, none of them are in this church. One of them never tied to this church or gave to this church, but he wanted us to build a building. I'm of the other variety. You'll figure out where I am. So we call what I'm looking for is this 10 to 20 here. And I don't want to be exact with numbers, so don't get goofy on numbers. They call these people the early adopters. Is it with an E or an O? Amy? Adopters? Christy? E? Okay. Early adopters. These are the people where you work. You all understand what I said? These are where you work, and they come in and they say, by the way, we're getting a new piece of equipment. Have you ever listened to the garbage come in the laboratory? You would have one group. By the way, the 10% here, you know who these are. These are never going to adopt. Now, you notice I haven't said anything specific. You all recognize that? You say, why are you saying this? As a pastor, there's two groups in a church I don't listen to at all. This group and this group. Because this group here, 20 years, for, folks, we could build 8 new buildings and they would still be saying we can't do it. They never change their mind. They dig in, they dig in, they dig in, and they dig in, and they dig in, and they dig in. This 10%, look at me, if you work at a job and you're this 10%, you're gone, especially a job that matters. They're just not going to put up with your stupid. Just not. And if you're this kind of person, you don't usually work very well either because I don't know what this is. Now, I told you I was going to talk about Cliff Cavallis. If we had this in the middle, I'm going to ask you for the no Cliff Cavallis. Is he an early adopter of ideas? Would you know? Oh, yes. Cliff is always going to be that first group. You say, why? Because his middle name is Yes. And that's the reason when you meet people in Japan that work around Cliff, they speak about him with awe. And other people made second class, barely. And there's a reason they didn't make rate. Because somewhere along the line, they're either here or they're here. And I want to say this, by the way, folks, we're talking about your children and grandchildren. But this group here, this group here doesn't really work because they're going to get fired. This group here is in every church, in every place I've ever worked. They're just feet draggers, gripers, complainers, whiners. I don't want to... And they're smarter than everybody they've ever worked for. Look at me. You know, I've told you the story. When I left here in 1981 and I went to Dyer, Indiana, I was 24 years old. I was the lowest grade tech. Within a couple years, I was the boss. The whole time I was moving up to being the boss, look at me in the eyes, all the employees did was gripe about. And when I became the boss, I thought, hey, guess what they do? Then they gripe about me, which tells you what? What does it tell you? It's not the boss. It's always them, every time. By the way, if you're so smart, why aren't you the boss? If you're so gifted, why aren't you running the show? By the way, you got it. This is stuff that I think we learn at home. I think. I'm going to ask you, do you think you learn the yes at home or the no at home? What do you think? I think most people learn either one or the other. They either more or less, yes, we can do this, or this group here, I don't know what you call them, very late adopters, meaning a new... Do you understand what I mean by an adopter? Someone who adopts new ideas, new technology, new thinking. I'm not bragging on her because she's already picked on me, but you go into Christie's class, and the first time I went into her math class, and she used to teach kindergarten. She was an okay kindergarten teacher. That wasn't her thing, in my opinion, sister. She's very good at it because she can manage anything, okay? She can run the world. But she gets into math, and there's some things she does that make me uncomfortable. She's learned them. Amy does it too in her group. They do collaborative stuff where kids work on problems together. Now, I'm one of those people that grew up in the old dark ages where nobody ever looked at your work, and if they did, they were cheating. Are you listening? Here she is. She's got 3 or 4 of them together, and they're working on projects, and Amy does it in her group. Don't you do it in your group? Now, here's your problem. If you're one of those people that was a teacher that says, God told me before the foundation of the world, kids do not work together, you're going to have problems at Lake County Baptist School. Because the teachers that do the best, how do they teach? Are you all listening? By the way, I'm not talking about school. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about what you teach your children. Some of us get stuck. You say, where are you at on this curve? By the way, some of you don't know what I'm even talking about, number one. And number two, don't know where you're at on the curve. I'm here. I'm on that side, but I'm not Cliff Cavallis. By the way, I am pretty sure I'd have never made Master Chief if I'd have stayed in the Navy. You say, why? Too cranky.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for that first amen I've ever heard from Joseph. Thank you. By the way, folks, do you not reckon? All right, we got senior chiefs in this room. Do you think those guys are senior chiefs because they just showed up one day and they're smart? There's other guys just as smart as them, Noel, Robert. The guy that I'm surprised didn't make master chief, and I think it's because of the downsizing of the Navy, is Romeo Mendoza, but you can spot guys like this. You say what? They're the kind of guy that can go to work, and they get along with people, and they can take whatever the captain wants them to do and run with it, and there's other people that are just griping all the time or foot-dragging. By the way, folks, this is what I want from your children. I want you at least to be on this side of the curve. Does that sound fair? Yes or no? Do you know why this is? Somebody tell me why I want your children to be there. Raise your hand. Anybody? Yes, sir. Rhonda?
Well, it's a necessary part of life. Change is going to come, and if you're not ahead of the
oh,
curve,
come on, come on.
Ready to accept the change, then you're not going to survive.
Okay, Tim. Do you like to hang around crabby people? Lois, go ahead and hit Frenchie. I don't mind. Really? Yes. All of you are correct. What else? Mike? You got so sidetracked in the good answers. You know what Noel Hippolito said? He had a captain on a ship that said this to him. You all know the statement. He says, if you come to me with a headache, you better have some aspirin. Now, I'm going to say right up front, I'm trying to be honest with you. Where some of us, I know some of us in this room, I think most of us think we're here. I think the people that are naysayers in our church would not even know that. Except when you ask them to change one thing in their routine. I want you to be here for a lot of reasons, but I think what you're saying, but think about this. What's the premise of all of this? It's you, it's God in Scripture, and what? You see, we're not talking about work. We're talking about marriage. We're talking about family. You know, if you're still fighting with your spouse about where you're going for Christmas, I'm like, Jenny and I kind of figured that kind of stuff out before I think even marriage. We're going to go to my house for Christmas, her house for Thanksgiving. And we fought plenty. You say, why? I am stubborn. Yeah. Really? Woo. You know what's sad, folks? Is we teach children to be no people. We teach our own children. So if I came here, and I can remember sitting in the office and hearing this garbage. Sound like a chainsaw. And you're like, why are we this way? Do you all understand this? Now let me ask you a question. I believe I'm here. Here's me. I'm from the middle to this. I do not consider myself where Cliff Cavallis is. I do not. He's one of the best men I've ever been around for this. It just, I wish I had some of that. Some of this comes from being from the country, too individualistic, too cantankerous, and I got it from my whole broader family. But I can say this, you already know, I'm a yes person. I want to move forward in life. I don't want to be one of the people that can't. But what we need to do now is we need to break this down. We'll start with marriage. Let's just look at the marriage issue. Some of you are married. All right. So how does this impact marriage? When two people get together, do they all perfectly agree? We got some liars over here. Yeah, by the way, Dave and Coley do agree as long as a chair is in between them. That is scary. Do you ever have problems, you know, getting along? Here's the thing. I remember having a couple having a fight, and we're all adults here. This is not improper. The husband wanted the wife to wear a black negligee. For the wife, that was the end of the world. Man, you've gone off the edge of the world. You've gone to hell. By the way, that's fine first week. 10 years into this, you're still fighting over that? Who's the fool? Who's the fool? Well, whoever's saying no. You get married. I got tons of stuff here. You get married. The husband likes the wife to... Nancy, are you causing trouble again? You got this whole site over here, Nancy. I'm going to have to separate you. Let's start my conversation again. I wrote a bunch of stuff down. Are you ready? You get married. The husband wants the wife to fix her nails. Look me in the eyes. By the way, I could care less about that. But the husband likes that. Guess what the wife should do? Find a way to yes. Hello? Get to yes. Husband wants the wife to fix her hair differently. Guess what the wife should do? Find a way to yes. Do you realize the stuff I've heard from spouse? Do you realize, I used to think marital problems were these big problems. What I really found out is most people just can't say yes. They're fighting about the dumbest things. I don't mind it. Look at me. If you've been married a year or two and you're fighting about, my husband wants me to wear high heels, and I don't like high heels. And Linda, that's not your problem. Whatever you wear aren't high heels. I don't know what you call them. Stilts. Yeah, stilts. You and Monka'a were stilts. But listen, if you're still fighting about that 10 years later and you haven't found, look at me in the eyes, some way to get to yes, do you realize what you're saying about yourself? You got to be able to find some way. Now, let's go the other direction. Your wife likes the husband to take a shower more than once a week. Or likes the husband to shave. By the way, and if that's important to the wife, it ought to be important too. And you're still fighting about this? You say, this is stupid. By the way, this is the reason preaching and teaching on marriage is a waste of time, because really there's only one problem you have, the person in your chair. And once you get a hold of the idea of getting to yes, it's just amazing how that just opens up your life. You know what usually happens? For marriages that stay together, one person capitulates and lives like a hollow person. Because one person always gets their way. By the way, there's only one solution to that, wives or husbands. If your husband or wife has to get their way, you better have that war right before marriage or the first year of marriage, because it never gets better. They're going to take more and more territory. I'm going to ask you all a question. My guess is most of you will not know the answer to this question. Pam Hall is one of the nicest people in this church. On this scale, do you know, have any idea where Pam Hall is? Coley, what do you think? I do. Really? Okay. What do you think? I think Pam Hall is right dead center, and as long as we give her lots of head start, she will adapt to anything. But Pam has her life organized, and Mike's life organized. No, that's that mathematical mind. So I know, by the way, I know how to work with people that adapt. She will adapt to things. No, she will not adapt quickly. You better not ask Pam to do something that upsets her schedule, because this woman has everything exact. Do you not know this? Oh, no, I didn't say that. She's a person in the middle as long as you give her the head. By the way, all I'm looking for, she's perfectly willing as long as you tell her enough ahead of time. And she will do it and do a beyond excellent job. Do you not know yourself? My guess is we don't. My guess is people here that are naysayers don't even know it. Don't know what you're sharing with your children and then your grandchildren. Somebody called it being positive. It is being positive, but it's more than positive. It's not just being a happy person. It's a person that says, you know what, there's a yes to get to. So in my opinion, Pam Hall, which is an outstanding teacher, she can adapt to anything if you give her enough time. She likes to know about it. Don't surprise her unless you want to die. Some people are very flexible. Yes? Okay, Coley, you're more over here, and you're very flexible. How about Dave? Is he flexible like that? There we go. How about this? One of the spouses wants to take a drive. 400 reasons why we can't do that. One of the people wants to go to Europe. Do you know I listen to people? And after a while, I'm thinking, what's wrong with us? No wonder why our people, we have children and grandchildren that starch their underwear. They're just about to break. It's like, but I'm asking you a simple question. Isn't God's world for you? Didn't he give you richly all things to enjoy? Then why are you a negative, narrow, controlling person? It's not of God. It has nothing to do with Christianity. By the way, you don't have to be this person. You just need to be tilt to the yes. That's all. You just have to be a person that can get to the yes. Or otherwise, if you're in a marriage, one person always gets crushed and the other person always gets their way. And that does very bad things for both people. Both people. How about this? Your wife likes to hold hands. Some people are touchers and some people aren't. I have become more touchy since I have been here than in my entire existence. I can still remember the first person that gave me a hug in this church. It was Rachel. I almost died. I think I did. No. Yes, and Dave Haas gave me a hug too, and he almost died in that case. And yes, Dave, I still remember. You say, this is all dumb stuff. Look at me. No, it's not. Look, folks, whatever it is in your life, it once you get it with God, in him are all the promises are yes and amen. I can do all. Then you get rid of this negative. You don't have to be somebody out here jumping off cliffs. You need to be 50% and over. You need to be a person that can get to yes. That's it. And I think then you can move forward in life, in every area of life. I don't have any time, so I'm going to give you the bottom, and then we're going to go back to work for a minute. How would you know if your child or you can't get to yes? Here you go. A lot of no's. Do you ever listen to yourself speak? Next, gossip. Understand what gossip really is. Do you not know what it really is? It's a way of defending yourself. When you hear a person always gossiping, or next, a lot of put-down language. Put-down language when you're always putting other people down, and you don't have to be the smartest person in the room to do this. You just, yeah, Christy can do this, and Amy can do this, but, there's your put-down. A bunch of naysaying. How about this? A bunch of foot dragging. Or I'm just using all these for the same thing. A bunch of digging in. You know, my little grandson, I'll mention it in church. I thought he was perfect, born without a sin nature. Somewhere around two, I found out he has a sin nature. See, how do you know? Anytime he doesn't get what he wants. You know what's sad is when you see an adult do some of those same activities. And you're like, come on. Here's what you see in adults. This is sad. And by the way, it's in our church. You know it is. You might even be the one of them. You get this stuff. I'm right. 40 years later, you're still telling people how you're right. And underneath that, the whole world is wrong. I mean everybody. I'm the only one right. Yes, I've been fired from 27 jobs. They're all bad bosses. Oh, really? Really? Now, let's look real quick to the job. And yes, it's time, but I want to just say a couple things. What kind of people do they want in a job? Let me give you some real simple ones. People on time. People easy to get along with. Yes? When I walk down the hallway to deliver my water during the week, you know what I like? I like to see people that I want to see. And people that do not smile and talk to me, I avoid. Why should I go out of my way? And by the way, any place you work is the same. Nobody wants to talk to a griper, complainer, whiner. I go into K4 and there's on. I wish all of you could have seen a video of Christy teaching K4, Coley teaching K4, and On teaching K4. They're like three different K4s. On, everything is, she's down there with the kids, talking to them. Nicole, swinging from chandeliers. Christy, everything is organized. It's so weird, and yet all of them are learning in those different personalities. I enjoy going to see any one of them. But you hear me, you say, I don't like what you're saying. Do you really think your boss wants to see you if you're a naysayer? Yes or no? Now, here we're done. This is what I want from you. In your heart of hearts, I'm guessing some of you still don't really honestly know where you're at on the adopter scale. Sad. Because the easiest person to fool is the person in your seat. I know who I am. I know who people are. I know if I have ideas, I know who I'm going to talk to. I know who I'm not going to talk to if I have ideas. Did you ever think about that? We need to do something new. You're going to talk to certain people. And you're not talking to other people because you don't want to hear the garbage. Here's what you need to do. Look at me in the eyes. You need to learn to get to yes. And if you learn to get to yes, you'll be able to teach it to your children. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for these great texts. We only did implications and applications, but this is the Christian life. Help us to hear, we ask, in Christ's name.